Let's all bow before Almighty Yahweh. Father Yahweh, we come before you as a united group of believers, and we pray that what is done here today may be pleasing in your sight. We pray that our lives may reflect your calling, Father. Help us to overcome always, to pursue your truth, to do your will, to focus on your word always. Father Yahweh, we're so thankful for the many, many blessings you've blessed us with. And we pray, Father, that you may help us to understand those blessings and strive to always use those blessings to further your work and your truth. Father, we also ask a special prayer today for Sister Allie with the loss of her sister. And also ask a continual blessing and a comfort for Sister Loretta with the loss of her son. Father Yahweh, it is a time certainly of loss now, and we pray that your spirit, that your encouragement will be upon each member here in this assembly and those in other parts of the nation and the world. Father, we thank you so much for all that you've done again, for the life of your son, your own only son, and the sacrifice he made for all of us. We pray, Father Yahweh, once more that our lives may reflect your calling, that we may put you first, always and forever. Ask this in Yahshua's beloved name. Hallelujah. I'd like to welcome everybody here this Sabbath. I'd like to speak on faith today. You know, faith is so important as a believer, not just faith saying I believe, but the faith that allows us to dedicate our lives to Almighty Yahweh, to deal with persecutions, trials, sorrows, the faith to continue on no matter what happens, to have Yahweh in the forefront of our mind, knowing that He will provide an answer, that He will provide a way. No matter what the persecution, no matter what the obstacle, no matter what the pain, no matter what the sorrow. So important that we understand faith as brethren, as Yahweh's people, as followers of Him. So I'd like to look at faith today. I'd like to begin with Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Here we find the definition of faith. What is faith? How does Yahweh define faith? According to Hebrews 11, verse 1, faith is defined as an assurance of things hoped for, a conviction of things not seen. The NIV defines faith in this same passage as, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain. Certain. Notice that word, certain. We don't hope that it may or may not happen, or that it may or may not exist. We're certain. We know for sure, certain of what we do not see. So here is the definition of faith. According to Hebrews, faith is the assurance, the promise of things hoped for, and a conviction or persuasion of things not seen. Well, what does that mean? Faith is a belief that requires trust, that requires conviction, an assurance, and a hope of what we don't have physical proof of. For instance, you know, we have faith, we have an assurance, we have a conviction that the heavens, the earth, all that we see was created by Almighty Yahweh. We have this assurance, this belief, this faith. We can't prove this with physical evidence. I can't perform some sort of experiment to show that Yahweh created the heavens and the earth. But we believe. We have faith. Same thing with our Father in heaven. We have faith that Yahweh is who He says He is, that He does exist, that He is the creator of this universe, that He is there to assist when we need Him, that He is in control. We have faith. We believe. We have an assurance. This is what faith is, an assurance of what we cannot see, an assurance of what we cannot physically prove. A faith in something that we cannot prove through some sort of observation, but a deep down belief that what we believe is indeed true. Yahweh is spirit. He is invisible, Scripture says. We can't touch him. We can't see him. But nonetheless, we believe that he is. And we are convicted that what we see today in the heavens and this universe and the earth and all that we see, plant life, human life, all that we see, Yahweh is behind. Remember that it was Yahshua who once said, "Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." I think that's so important. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. There's something very special about not having that physical evidence, not having that physical proof to base our faith on, and yet believing anyway. Believing because we have faith, we have that assurance that Yahshua did come, that he did die for our sins, that he did do the things we read about in the New Testament, performed all his mighty works, that he gave up his own life to redeem us from our sins. Again, we have faith. We have no evidence that Yahshua died per se for our sins. We have no faith that, or we have no proof, I should say, that he performed these mighty works, but yet we believe. Again, there's a great blessing for those who have this faith, who have a conviction of what we find within Yahweh's word, with Yahweh, with his Son. Believe not because of evidence we can prove physically, but evidence deep down inside, a strong conviction. Those of us who place our full assurance in Yahweh, his word, our Savior, will not be stopped. And that's why faith is so important, because sometimes we all come against obstacles. We all come against situations, sorrows in some case, painful situations. And yet, we know that if we have faith, if we have that conviction in Almighty Yahweh, there's nothing that can stop us. There's nothing that can hinder us from following Almighty Yahweh. This is a type of faith we must have if we will enter into Yahweh's kingdom. If we'll overcome the persecution of the evil one, overcome the world, again, overcome the trials, the temptations, we must have this assurance, this conviction in Almighty Yahweh's word. You know, Yahshua, during his ministry, he asks a question. Some find this somewhat disturbing. It's found in Luke chapter 18, verse 8. It's almost prophetic for our day and age. It says, "I say unto you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth?" So here Yahshua asks, will he find faith? Or some say the faith. When he returns to this earth, will he? Well, the word faith here is from the Greek word pistis and means persuasion, credence, more conviction, a reliance upon Messiah for salvation. So notice something here. We find both a generic meaning, an assurance, a moral conviction, and something very specific. And that is a faith, a conviction, an assurance in Yahshua's atoning sacrifice. Now, why would our Savior ask this question? Why? Or as we'll see as we go through Yahweh's word, the time before his coming will bring a time of persecution, will bring a time of troubles and sorrows like none other. No other time in the history of man will rival the time before Yahshua's coming. It's going to be horrific. During this time, our faith will be tried like never before. If we think we've encountered problems, if we think we've encountered situations or persecutions up to this point, we're wrong. Because if we are alive during this time, our faith must be strong. I believe that Yahshua's question of will he find faith or the faith on this earth should be sobering to us all. We need to ask ourselves, will we have the faith to overcome? Will we have the assurance, the conviction to stand firm in time of tribulation, time of persecution? Will we have the faith to stay true to Yahweh's word without compromise, no matter what the circumstance? You know, there's many people today who give up the faith, who leave the faith because of a lot less of what we may have to overcome during this time. And ultimately, I believe that we all need to look within ourselves and ask one question. Would we and are we willing to die for the faith? There's many, many examples in Yahweh's word of this type of persecution. And we know that in the end time, there will be martyrdom. Some will die as a testimony for their faith. We can read this all throughout Scripture, but we can read this throughout the apocalyptic, the prophetic books in Yahweh's word. Remember that what our Savior said in Matthew. Matthew chapter 10, he said, "He that finds his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it." Now, what is he saying here? What he's saying is simply this. If we devote our lives to Almighty Yahweh, we will receive eternal life in the kingdom. You understand that? If we compromise Yahweh's truth today through a lack of faith, if we compromise because of a persecution or a tribulation we've encountered, we will lose our life. So it's so important that we have this devotion, have this conviction, this dedication, this thing called faith in Almighty Yahweh. That no matter what the persecution, no matter what the obstacle, no matter what the sorrow, no matter what the situation may be, we're going to hold firm to Almighty Yahweh and not allow Satan or whatever it may be to distract us from the truth. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37, we find here a warning. It says, "For yet a little, very little while, he that cometh shall come, and shall not tarry. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrink back," in other words, if he compromises, "my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that shrink back unto perdition, but of them that have faith unto the saving of the soul." So what do we find here? We find that Yahweh has no pleasure in those who fall back, those who compromise, those who forsake the faith. As we see here, Yahweh's people, those who live by faith, must also refuse the notion of shrinking back, of compromising, of giving up. It's not an option. It is not an option for those who yearn for Yahweh's kingdom. We must put Yahweh first. And we do that through faith, through a conviction in Him. You know, one of the greatest attributes of Yahweh's people is courage. Courage. Yahweh's word demands courage. Often it isn't tied with faith, but we can find a parallel with courage and faith. Remember what Yahweh told Joshua before he took the reins, before they entered into that promised land? Yahweh said, "Only be strong and very courageous." Faith requires courage. Understand that this command is from Almighty Yahweh. And it's not exclusive to Joshua or maybe to Moses or some of the other men of great faith. It also applies to us. Again, faith requires courage. If we lack in courage, if we lack in conviction, if we lack in our devotion or in our dedication, we also lack in faith. You see, if we believe that Yahweh is the mighty one of this universe, that He's faithful to those who obey, we should have the courage, we should have the assurance, and we should have the faith to stand in whatever persecution, whatever trial, and whatever sorrow that may befall us. Why? Because we have Almighty Yahweh, and we need no other. Hebrews chapter 3 talks about a lack of faith and the result of a lack of faith. Says there, Hebrews 3, verse 16, "For who, when they heard, did provoke? Nay, did not all they that came out of Egypt by Moses? And with whom was he displeased 40 years? Was it not with them that sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness, and to whom swore he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that were disobedient? And we see that they were not able to enter in because of why? Because of unbelief." The Greek word here for unbelief is apatheia in the Greek, and it means faithlessness, a disbelief, lack of faith, or unfaithfulness. We see here that the writer of Hebrews is recounting why why the Israelites failed and were not allowed to enter in to the rest or to the promised land. It says here that they were not allowed. Why? Because of unbelief. Because of unbelief. They did not have that faith. And as we'll see as we go through this message, this unbelief was more than a lack of what most would call faith, a belief. It was also a lack of action. You know, Yahweh told the Israelites to do certain things, and they did not have the courage, the fortitude, the conviction, the assurance in Almighty Yahweh to follow through with that. James, Joshua's brother, we're all familiar with this. James chapter 2 says, faith without works is what? It's dead. It's useless. It's pointless. It's vain. There's no point to it. You know, if we have not the courage, if we have not the fortitude to put our faith into action, then our faith is meaningless. And that's why faith is more than a belief. Faith is saying, oh, I believe. No, I got to see some action behind that belief. Because if there is no action, there is no belief. As we'll see, this is precisely where Israel failed. They lacked the courage, they lacked the fortitude to follow through with Yahweh's command, to follow through with their faith, with their conviction, with their assurance. I'd like to look at that account. I'm going to do a little bit of reading today. I'd like to look at the context and really understand what's being said. I'd like to look at a few examples. First one is Numbers 13, and we're going to get into 14. It says there, Numbers 13, verse 1, Yahweh spoke unto Moses, saying, send you men, that they may spy out the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a prince among them. And Moses sent them from the wilderness Paran, according to the commandment of Yahweh, all of them men who were heads of the children of Israel. So what do we find here? We find that Moses, to fulfill Yahweh's command, told these men to gather, to go out and spy out the promised land. Now, notice these men were not average men. They weren't ordinary men. There was something special about these men. It calls them a prince. The word prince is from the Hebrew word nasi, and means an exalted one. So these people, they were people of stature. They had an exalted position. Now you would think that men of this stature, after all, seeing what they saw, the parting of the Red Sea, the giving of manna, the many, many, many wonders of Almighty Yahweh, that they would have obeyed. You would think. But what happened? Well, let's find out. Let's just continue reading on here. Numbers 13, verse 25. It says, and they returned from spying out the land at the end of 40 days. It's interesting here, 40 days is a number of trial. Joshua fasted 40 days. Moses was in the mount for 40 days. Verse 26, and they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither you sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Howbeit, the people that dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Amalek dwelleth in the land of the south, and the Hittite, and the Jebusite, and the Amorite dwelleth in the hill country, and the Canaanite dwelleth by the sea, and along by the side of the Jordan. And Caleb steeled the people before Moses, and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. This man Caleb, he was ready. He wanted to go. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go against this people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land that they had spied out unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to spy it out is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who come of the Nephilim. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. So we find that these men, they came back to Moses. What happened? Besides Caleb, they delivered this evil report. These men did this for one reason and one reason only. They were afraid. They did not have the courage, the fortitude to do as Yahweh commanded. And as a result, they gave this evil, this bad report. These men lacked the faith to believe that Yahweh can deliver these nations unto Israel. And again, this is a lesson for us. Sometimes we can be against obstacles that we can't see past. And we see no solution inside. But there's always a solution. There's always a solution to the problem when we rely in Almighty Yahweh. And that's what these men failed to realize. These men missed the point. They did not understand who their provider was, Almighty Yahweh. There is nothing, and we know this here, there is nothing Almighty Yahweh cannot do. Yahweh can do whatever needs to be done, no matter how large, no matter how painful, no matter what the obstacle, no matter what the persecution, Yahweh is there. And He can resolve and offer a solution that sometimes we would never see. And these men, they were weak. They were faithlessness. They did not have that conviction, that assurance in Almighty Yahweh's help. So they again delivered this bad report. What happened? What was the result of this negative report? You know, so many times when we do something wrong, there's an impact to that decision. When we lie, there's an impact to that decision. No matter what it is, when we do something wrong, there's almost always an impact. And sometimes we don't see it. But there's always an impact. And here, there was an impact. Numbers 14, verse 20. Let's pick it up there. It says, "And Yahweh said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But in very deed, as I live, and as all the earth shall be filled with the glory of Yahweh, because all those men that have seen my glory and my signs which are wrought in Egypt and in the wilderness, yet have tempted me these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice." Yahweh's not real happy here. He's saying, look, after all the signs, after all the wonders, after everything that they have seen, and they still disbelieve. They still don't have this assurance, this conviction in me. You see in us an attack on Almighty Yahweh when we show a lack of faith, because we're telling Yahweh, we don't believe you can deal with this situation. We don't believe you can overcome this persecution, this obstacle. We don't believe you can help us with this sorrow. Yahweh can help. Verse 23, "Surely they shall not see the land which I swore unto their fathers, neither shall any of them be despised me see it, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and has followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land whither into we went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekite and the Canaanite dwell in the valley. Tomorrow turn ye and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea." And Yahweh spoke unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, "How long shall I bear with this evil congregation that murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as I live, saith Yahweh, surely as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your dead body shall fall in the wilderness. And all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, they have murmured against me. Surely, surely, you shall not come into the land concerning which I swore that I would make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones that you said should be a prey, them will I bring in." You see, they were using their children as an excuse not to follow Almighty Yahweh. They're saying, our children, they're going to die, instead of having faith in Almighty Yahweh. So Yahweh says, fine. You who murmured, you will die. But your children, The ones whom you said would be a prey, no, they're going to live. It says, them shall I bring in, and they shall know the land which you have rejected. But as for you, your dead body shall fall in the wilderness, and your children shall be wanderers in the wilderness 40 years. There's the consequence. You see, by the report, many, many people suffered. And you shall bear your whoredoms until your dead body shall be consumed in the wilderness. After the number of your days in which you spied out the land, even 40 days, for every day a year shall you bear your iniquities, even 40 years. And you shall know that my alienation, I, Yahweh, have spoken, surely this will I do unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in the wilderness. They shall be consumed. There they shall die. So here we see the result of unbelief. We see the result of a lack of courage. All because these 10 men refused to have faith in Almighty Yahweh. Refused to give Him that assurance that He would provide. We see the result. Only two men were exempt from this judgment, Caleb and Joshua. All the other men, 20 years and old, upward, died as a result of this rebellion, this negative, this evil report. Both Caleb and Joshua, though, they had the faith necessary to overcome. You know, Caleb came back and he said, let's do it. Let's do it now. You know, all of Yahweh's word, we find here significance. And that is what happens when we have faith and what happens when we do not have faith. When we're approached with persecution, with an obstacle, do we have the faith, the assurance, the courage to face it head on? And it takes courage sometimes. Sometimes we have to have faith, have courage, have conviction, and Yahweh, that no matter what it is, He's going to see us through. He's going to help us with this persecution, this tribulation, this sorrow. He's going to see us through. Why? Because He can. And it's really that simple. He can. There's no complication to this. Yahweh is who He is. He is the Father of this universe. He is our Maker. He is our Creator. And there's nothing beyond His ability. Joshua said that with Yahweh nothing was impossible. He said that with the faith of a mustard seed we could remove a mountain. There's nothing impossible when we believe, when we have faith in Almighty Yahweh. He can see us through whatever tribulation we encounter. You know, if these men would have brought back a good report, a report saying, yeah, there's pretty big people in that land. Kind of intimidating. But you know what? We're going to do it anyway. Why? Because we believe in Almighty Yahweh. We have faith in Him. Let's look at another example. This is one of the greatest, if not the greatest, example of faith, belief in Almighty Yahweh. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. It says there, and it came to pass after these things that Elohim did prove Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son, whom you love, even Isaac, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I shall tell thee of. And Abraham rose early. We don't see Abraham questioning, arguing with Almighty Yahweh on this. Next step here, he's following through. And Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he clave the wood for the burnt offerings and rose up and went unto the place of which Elohim had told him. And the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide you here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder, and we will worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, Elohim will provide himself the lamb for a burnt offering. Faith. He was convicted. No matter what would happen, he would have his son. You know, we read in Hebrews 11 that he thought even going through with this that Yahweh had the power to resurrect his son. You see, he had faith the entire time going through with this. And Abraham said, Elohim will provide himself the lamb for burnt offering, my son. So they went both of them together. I'd like to stop here for just a moment. Here we have Yahweh commanding Abraham to offer his only son. His only son as an offering, a burnt offering. Now, what would we do if we were given this command? Those of us with children. You know, one thing I've learned with having a child is how much you love a little child of your own. You can love children, but there's nothing like your own. And to take that child, to do what Yahweh is commanding here would be beyond belief. What would we do if Yahweh told us, go up, offer your son, offer your only daughter to me as a burnt offering? You'd have to slay that son or daughters. It's horrible. I'd say that most of us, maybe all of us, would fall short with this command. And I'm sure that as a parent, Abraham here, he was horrified. I'm sure it was excruciating to do what he did. And it's amazing to me that we can read this account and we don't find him arguing with Almighty Yahweh. We don't find him saying, oh, but no, he did it. He followed through. There was no argument. Now some believe that Abraham was blessed because he obeyed. And he was blessed because he obeyed. But he's called the father of the faithful. That is where his blessing was. He was a friend of Yahweh Most High. Why? Not because of what he did. It was his faith. It wasn't the commandments. It was his faith and it was his ability to do as Yahweh commanded with his son more than anything. Some people, they say, oh, you know, this example, this is just shows how Yahweh, the Old Testament, is cruel, vindictive, mean. John 3:16 says, Yahweh so loved the world that he gave his only son so that we might be saved. You know, in many ways, Abraham is a type of our Father in heaven. Just as Abraham was willing to give his only son, Yahweh gave his only son. And why? Because he loved us. That is the reason. Let's continue. And they came to the place which Elohim had told him of, and Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in the order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abram stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Can you imagine being Abraham right now? Son's bound, wood might be burning at this point. Here you are with the knife, ready to slay your own son. Verse 11 says, and the angel of Yahweh called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that you fear Elohim. See, you have not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went out and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Yahweh Yireh. Yahweh provides. Yahweh provides. As it is said to this day, in the mount of Yahweh it shall be provided. And the angel of Yahweh called unto Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself have I sworn, says Yahweh, because you have done this thing and have not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless you, multiplying I will multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in his seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. How? Out of faith. I believe that very few people really understand, comprehend why Abraham was blessed. I don't know if there's a greater example, as I said, than the example we find here in the Old Testament of love, of sacrifice, of faith. Can you imagine doing what Abraham did here? Can you imagine being just a split second away from slaughtering your own son or daughter, to offer him or her as a burnt offering before Almighty to Yahweh. You know, talk about a person's faith, a test of our conviction, of our assurance in Almighty Yahweh. We know that Abraham was justified by his faith. He's called the father of the faithful. That's not something we find originally in the New Testament. It has its roots all the way back to Abraham and the faith and the assurance that he showed on this day. We see here that he was willing to offer the most valuable thing he had on this earth. Nothing compared to his son Isaac. Nothing. And yet he was willing to offer his only son. You know, we know that Abraham, that there was nothing he would withhold. Now, what does this say about our own faith? What does this say about our own conviction? You know, I would say that most of us, it shows how little faith we really have. You know, few of us would have the faith to do what Abraham did. Few of us could go through what Abraham did. What would we do if we were in his place? How would we react? How would we respond? You know, we can read about Abraham's dedication, his faith, how he showed that faith. But again, do we really understand the consequences, what he went through, and the relationship he had with Almighty Yahweh, that great conviction he had for his Father in heaven? And that's what it was. It was a conviction. It was a deep, deep belief inside. A belief that really allowed the man to do anything for Almighty Yahweh. You know, when it comes to our faith, to our Father in heaven, are we willing to sacrifice? There's no sacrifice too large for Yahweh. That's something we all need to understand. There's no sacrifice too large. As Abraham was willing to give all as a show of his faith, we must be willing to give all if we want Yahweh's kingdom, if we yearn for that kingdom. I'd like to look at another example. We're all familiar with this example, but it's one of those examples that's good to review. Such a good story, a wonderful lesson. 1 Samuel 17, verse 31. This is a story of young David, how he conquered a mammoth of a man. And when the words were heard, which David spoke, they rehearsed them before Saul, the king. And he sent for him, and David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth. He was a young man. Really don't know how old he was, but he was young. But he believed, and he had faith. And he, speaking of Goliath, a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, Thy servant was keeping his father's sheep. And when there came a lion or a bear or took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after him and smote him. Thy servant smote both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living Elohim. And David said, Yahweh that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Go, and Yahweh shall be with thee. And Saul clad David with his apparel, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head, and he clad him with a coat of mail. And David girded a sword upon his apparel, and he essayed to go, for he had not approved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him, and he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had even in his wallet, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Now, notice here the faith that David had in his Father in heaven. David was without a shield, he was without a sword, he was without armor. Young man, all he had was his faith, really, in his Maker. There was no doubt in David's mind. That's what I find so special about this account. There was no doubt. There was no question in David's mind on who would be the victor. He knew that he would be the victor. He knew that it would be him who overcame with Yahweh's help. All that this young man had was a staff, some stones, a sling. But he knew with that, combined with Yahweh Yireh, Yahweh provides, that he would succeed, that he would conquer that old Philistine. Not only was this Philistine a trained warrior, a man in the military, he was huge. Some estimate this man to be 10 feet in height. Some say more, some say a little bit less. But he was gigantic. And here little David was. This man was a monster compared to David. And yet, through his faith, through his assurance, through his conviction in Almighty Yahweh, he was unafraid. He told Saul, "Let me at him, because I'm ready. I have Yahweh by my side, and I will not be conquered. I will not lose." David's faith would not allow him to be intimidated, but he was fully persuaded that he could overcome this man, not by his own might, not by his own power, but by Almighty Yahweh. And he did exactly that. Verse 41, 1 Samuel 17 says, "And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and withal of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that you come to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his mighty one. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the birds and of the heavens and the beasts of the field. And then said David to the Philistine, You come to me with a sword, but and with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to thee in the name of Yahweh of hosts, the Elohim of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day will Yahweh deliver you into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from off thee, and I will give the dead bodies of the hosts of the Philistines this day unto the birds of the heavens and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is an Elohim in Israel. And that all this assembly may know that Yahweh saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is Yahweh's, and he will give you into our hand. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came, drew nigh to meet David, and that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand into his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, and the stone sank into his forehead. And he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over that Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran, stood over the Philistine, and took his sword, and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. This is one of the most moving passages I believe we find in Yahweh's word. Notice again what David said in verse 45. When David approached this mount of a man, he said that he came in the name of Yahweh. He said, you can have your sword. You can have your shield. You can have your javelin. You can have whatever you want to have. Because what I come with is greater than what you come with. And that is with Yahweh's name. It was through Yahweh's name that David found his strength, that David found his conviction. David knew that by himself he could do nothing. And that is one thing David understood. He knew, he understood that the achievement did not come from him. It was Almighty Yahweh. Yahweh made it possible. Again, through Yahweh, all things are possible. Not only was David able to defeat Goliath with nothing more than a stone, we see here that he threw the whole army into array. One man, one small, insignificant youth, threw the whole Philistine army into array. Why and how? Faith. Faith in Almighty Yahweh. Let's now apply this to you and I. You know, we all, as Yahweh's people, we all have our Goliaths to overcome. Whether it be persecution through our job, through friends, through family. Maybe it's a grief, a sorrow, a pain. We all have our Goliaths to overcome. When we're faced with these Goliaths, with these mammoths of a problem, what do we do? Do we give in? Do we compromise? Do we fall back like the 10 spies? Or do we face our Goliath head on, as David did here? For example, what if we're told by report, we cannot give you all for the Sabbath, for the feast days? What do you do? So often our reaction comes down to faith, our conviction, our assurance that Yahweh will provide, no matter what the persecution may be. When we have faith, we know that Yahweh is in control. When we have faith, we know that Yahweh can work things out. And He will. He will. Yahweh can open up doors. He can supply solutions again that we would never see because of our inability to provide solutions. There's an example I often give when speaking about faith and jobs specifically. Man, great faith, very, very convicted. Years and years ago, he was told by his employer that they would have, I believe it was a regional meeting. He had to be there, mandatory. Said, if you go, you don't come back. Or this man went anyway. This man went to the feast. He came back. Nothing at all was said. Where was this man's faith? Was it in his employer? No, it was in Almighty Yahweh. And through his faith, through his conviction, through his obedience, he was blessed. Same thing for you and I. I'd like to look at another example. Eliah and Baal. 1 Kings 18, verse 20. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Eliah came near unto all the people, and said, how long will you go limping between the two sides? If Yahweh be Elohim, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. The word limping in this passage is from the Hebrew word pasak. It means to hop, to skip over, to limp or to dance. It's where we derive the word for Passover, pasak. This message from Eliah reminds me of what we find in Revelation with the Laodicean assembly. Our Savior there told this assembly, look, I want you hot or I want you cold. I don't want you lukewarm. Don't go halfway. Don't compromise. If you're going to follow me, go all the way with it. Do you remember the punishment for those who were lukewarm? Yahshua said that I will spew you out of my mouth. Our Savior, our Father in heaven, will not tolerate someone who is lukewarm, someone who is apathetic, someone who is indifferent, someone who compromises his truth. We're either in this to win, or we should not be in the race at all. Understand that if we're not fully committed to Yahweh's word, then our Father in heaven, He really has no use at all for us. He wants to see someone devoted, someone committed to His truth. This is the message that we find here with Eliah. Eliah here, he told the people, don't limp, don't hop around, commit. Commit yourself to Almighty Yahweh. And notice, not a word. You know, Joshua basically said the same thing. He said, as for me and my family, we will serve Almighty Yahweh. You can do what you want. But I plan to serve Yahweh. We know that both Eliah and Joshua were resolute. They were steadfast with their faith. When it comes to our faith, we can't afford to be subdued. We can't afford to be half-hearted. We can't afford to compromise His word. Yahweh doesn't allow compromise. If we have a yearning for Yahweh's kingdom, then we need to decide whether we're going to continue limping or whether we're going to continue to follow Yahweh fully. Going halfway, simply unacceptable to Almighty Yahweh. It's not enough. Either we do it right or we do nothing at all. Let's continue here. Verse 25. I want to read down to verse 40. I want to get the account here. And says, and Eliah said unto the prophets of all, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first. For you are many, and call on the name of your mighty one, but put no fire under. And they took the bullocks which were given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, no, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made, and it came to pass at noon that Eliab mocked them and said, cry aloud, you know, for he is a mighty one. Either he is musing, or he's gone aside, or maybe he's on a journey, or peradventure he sleeps and he needs to be awakened. Who says there's not humor in Yahweh's word? Verse 28, and they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances till the blood gushed out upon them. And it was so when midday was past that they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening oblation. But there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. So here they are, they're dancing, they're cutting themselves, they're doing all these horrific things, and no answer. Why? Or we all know why. Verse 30, and Eliab said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of Yahweh that was thrown down. And Eliab took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of Yahweh came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of Yahweh, and made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the water in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid it on the wood, and he said, fill 4 jars with water and pour it on the burnt offering and on the wood. You know, he wanted no mistakes here. He wanted the people to understand who was a mighty one and who was not. So he's pouring this water on this offering, and he makes a trench, fills that with water, just to prove a point. Verse 34, and he said, do it the second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. And the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the even oblation that Eliah, the prophet, came near and said, O Yahweh, the Elohim of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that you are Elohim in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Yahweh, hear me, that this people may know that you, Yahweh, art Elohim. And then you have turned their heart back again. Then the fire of Yahweh fell and consumed the burnt offering, and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, Yahweh, he is Elohim. Yahweh, he is Elohim. And Eliab said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let none of them escape. And they took them, and Eliab brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. Now here we find a great man of faith. It was through this man's faith that this burnt offering, that this wood, that this water, everything he added to this offering was consumed with this fire. You know, if Eliab had no faith, then nothing would have happened here. But he had faith. He understood. He knew. He was convicted that Yahweh was indeed the creator of this universe. And Yahweh proved that. Like David, this man's faith was strong. He had no doubts. He had no questions. He had no hesitation. And Yahweh's power, we find he made it worse on himself. He said, keep pouring the water. Keep pouring the water. 3 times. He wanted to prove a point. And he did. Consider for just a moment what this man accomplished by his faith. Not only was he able to show old King Ahab the truth behind Yahweh's preeminence, to show that Yahweh is Elohim, that Yahweh is a mighty one, but he was also able to convince all those who worshipped Baal that this deity you worship is false, and Almighty Yahweh, he is the one to worship. So not only did he purge the people from this false worship, we find here he also restored true worship by purging these false priests. He restored true worship. Why and how? To restore Yahweh's name, and through his faith, through his conviction. I'd like to look at Luke chapter 21, 21 verse 10. Then he said unto them, Yahshua speaking, all of it a prophecy, nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be great earthquakes in diverse places, famines and pestilences, and there shall be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they shall lay their hands on you and shall persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogue and prisons, bringing you before kings and governors for my name's sake. It shall turn out unto you for testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate beforehand how to answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to withstand or to gainsay. But you shall be delivered up even by parents and brethren and kinfolk and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Why is faith an absolute necessity? Because of what we find right here in the Olivetic prophecy. The very persecution Yahshua prophesied of. Yahshua prophesied, along with Daniel and John of Patmos, that Yahweh's people would be persecuted, that they would be those martyred as a testimony to their faith. Some will die. Now, know that if our faith is deficient, if it is lacking in any way, we will fall short when this persecution comes upon us. Again, faith is more than a verbal confirmation. It's an action. What we do with our faith. Faith without works is dead. If we're not fully committed to our faith, to our Father in heaven, to our Savior, then when we see these things come, we will certainly not succeed. If our faith is weak now, how in the world will we be able to overcome this type of persecution? And you see so often people come into the assembly, go out of the assembly, come into the assembly. There's no root. There's no conviction. There's no devotion. If we don't have the devotion now, how in the world will we be able to succeed in this time that Yahshua himself said would be the worst time in the history of this world if it would come upon us in our lifetime? We need to have faith. We need to believe. We need to have an assurance in Almighty Yahweh that no matter what is obligated for us, we have the faith to follow through. You understand? I'd like to close with Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 32. Says, what shall I more say? For the time will fail me if I tell you of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, waxed mighty in war, turned to fight armies of aliens. Women received their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their deliverance, and they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of mockings and scourgings. Yes, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with a sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and the holes of the earth. And these all, having had witness born of them through their faith, received not the promise. Elohim having provided some better thing concerning us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. For we can find here many, many, many examples of faith. Great men and women, both of great faith. We can find examples, for instance, in this passage of people being sawn in half. Tradition says that this was Isaiah, that Isaiah was sawn in half. This is the benchmark, I believe, that we as Yahweh's people shall look to for faith, right here in the faith chapter. Some of the great persecutions and obstacles that these people overcame through their faith. It should be our goal to have the faith that Abraham had, the faith of David, the faith of Eliab, the faith of Moses, the faith of all these great people we can find in this passage. Know that if we seek this faith, that we must dedicate and devote our lives totally to Almighty Yahweh. Now, this faith requires courage, it requires fortitude, and a blind obedience to our Father in heaven. A blind obedience. If we allow ourselves to compromise Yahweh's word by not keeping a Sabbath, not keeping his feast days, not tithing, not doing His other commands, we show that our faith is insufficient. Know that if we have the will, have the desire to obtain the kingdom, we must have this faith. If we can't give all, there's no reason to continue today. We might as well pack our bags and go home, because if we're not willing to devote our lives completely to Almighty Yahweh now and today, today's the day. You know, if you're not devoting your life completely to Almighty Yahweh, today is the day. Begin. Begin doing it right now. Because if we want salvation, we need to do this. It's not something we can choose to ignore. It's not something we can choose not to do. We must have faith, and that means a complete assurance, a complete conviction in the one we worship. May Yahweh bless you.